Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Trey Lance is ready for his first NFL start on Sunday. Tall task, like the tallest of tasks, the undefeated Cardinals. Can the Niners pull off the upset? Hey, Baker Mayfield is in dire need of a big-time bounce-back game. Should the Browns be worried about their quarterback? And the countdown is on. Allen and the Bills, Mahomes and the Chiefs, Nick and his little ponytail. Oh, we got lots to discuss on this Friday morning. Hi, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. Jenna Wolf, Chris Broussard, Kevin Wildes. Nick, are we looking to the right or left? Do we have a little mini man bun today?
No, it's a football Friday. We're not talking about hair. We're talking about football
Friday.
The Chiefs are about to annihilate Wildes' Bills. That's what we're talking about, not hair. We got more important things. We're a serious show today. We're a serious show.
But I wore a ponytail. I wore a ponytail for you, Nick. Let's do it. Let's talk some football. Before we jump ahead to this weekend, let's talk some business. Thursday night football. Rams, Seahawks. And after scoring only 3 points in the first half, Matt Stafford and those Rams came alive in the second. Now, Stafford was dealing with a sore finger on his throwing hand. Still threw for 365 yards and a touchdown. Rams get the win. They now improve to 4-1. The story last night, though, the Seahawks. They lost more than just the game. Russell Wilson had to leave the game in the third quarter, hurt the middle finger on his throwing hand when he knocked into Aaron Donald's helmet. Pete Carroll said it was badly sprained, and Russ wasn't able to grip the ball. He did not come back. Geno Smith had to come in to replace him. Bad night overall for Seattle. They lost. They now drop to 2-3 on the season. So let's check out your NFC West standings. Not going to be easy for Seattle if Russ misses significant time with that finger, especially with that porous off defense, rather, of theirs. All right, Nick, do Seattle's problems go well beyond Russell Wilson's injury at this point?
Oh, I'm glad we're starting here because I do think it is important that the audience know on this Football Friday there is a team that someone on this show picked to make the Super Bowl, dare I say win the Super Bowl, who has a great quarterback and maybe the worst defense in NFL history through 5 weeks and is in last place in their division, and it is not my Kansas City Chiefs. It is Kevin Wilde's beloved Seattle Seahawks. And so while he casts arrows and stones throughout the weeks about the Chiefs' defense, Seattle, as we will discuss here, has major issues independent of their Iron Man quarterback, who has never missed a start, suffering. It's weird because it's a finger, but the most significant injury of his career, maybe, up to this point. I think Seattle was in huge trouble before Russ got hurt. If he misses real time, they are on the brink of a season from hell, because they are approaching the part of their schedule where they must rack up wins. They have Pittsburgh, New Orleans, Jacksonville. In that division, the NFC West, you've got to win the games you're supposed to win. They've already, in my opinion, Broussard, lost two games they were supposed to win, the Titans and the Vikings. Losing to the Rams is fine, but they were a mediocre team when Russ had 9 touchdowns, 0 picks, and a 130 passer rating through 4 weeks. Now they have a defense that can't get stops. They have an offense that might be temporarily relying on Geno Smith, and that is a recipe for disaster. So, yeah, I thought they were looking shakier than expected when Russ was out there. Now, Geno played well last night to his credit, but I don't think that's sustainable. But if Russ has to miss time, if they don't go 3-0 over these next three, it's very hard to see how they get the 10-11 wins you're going to need to make the playoffs. So, yeah, if I'm a Seahawks fan, if I'm Kevin Wilds or Mina Kimes this morning, I am very, very anxious about what the next few weeks are going to look like for my team.
Stressed out.
Well, Nick, I'm with you to a large degree. Obviously, if Russell Wilson is out for any significant amount of time, they're done. I'll go that far. They are done. And yes, Geno looked good. Hopefully for Geno, he may have gotten himself a job elsewhere in the future because he did look very good, and the interception at the end of the game wasn't his fault. But Geno's not going to carry this team to the playoffs. And so they do need Russell Wilson. But Nick, I got to push back on you. It just makes me chuckle the way you emphasize poor defenses of other teams. And yet you just gloss over the poor defense of the Chiefs. Now, remember, a week ago, Pete Carroll was on the under duress list because he needed to get this defense together. The defense is atrocious. The defense gives up more yards than even your Chiefs, Nick, and that's saying a lot because they're both at the bottom of the league in yards allowed on the offensive end. So they've got major problems there. But you brought up some good stuff, this schedule, and that's why I'm not ready to bury them yet. I'm not sure if you're burying them yet, but I'm not going to bury them just yet. Because, one, Russell has 9 days to get right. Okay? It was a Thursday night game, so they don't play for another 9 days. I would be a bit stunned if he doesn't play Sunday, the following Sunday against Pittsburgh. So I don't think he will be out for any stretch of games. And then you brought up the schedule. And they need to go 3-0 at the very least 2-1. But to your point, they should go 3-0. And if they lose to Pittsburgh, then on 9 days rest, then I may be with you in saying they're done. They won't make it this year. But they still have Nick a lot of opportunities to beat up some of those teams in their division. I mean, that's one thing about playing in the NFC West. You do get to meet each other. It's tough. But if you can get a few wins against your opponents, you can take their records down too. So I'm not ready to bury them, lose to Pittsburgh in 9 days, and then I may be with Nick Wiles and saying that you're done.
Okay, I'm going to make a few corrections. First, I'm going to talk about Geno Smith. Then I'm going to talk about our buddy Nick Wright. And then I want to talk about Jamal Adams. First of all, Geno Smith. He didn't play okay. He didn't play all right. He didn't play pretty good. He played straight up amazing. So if Russ is missing time and you could put Geno in there, he threw one touchdown. He's like, yeah, ice in the veins. I was like, man, you've been waiting on that one for a while. I didn't know you could do that. If you threw your first touchdown in 3 years, he was ready for it. He played great. Second of all, about the Seahawks defense, they're not good. But the idea that Nick can come on national television and be like, oh, it's a major problem, not like my Chiefs, is insane. That's like saying, like, you know, I wouldn't go swimming with bull sharks, but you can go swimming with great white sharks. Like, huh? Aren't you screwed both ways? Like, no. If you look at the numbers, one's slightly more dangerous.
Can I respond
Number
to
three,
that?
Jamal Before you get to Adams. Jamal Adams. No, I'm doing my thing. I said Jamal. I said talk about three things.
Okay.
I got to talk about
go
Jamal
ahead.
Adams. You can come back later. Here's Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams, I like Jamal Adams. But he had plays yesterday that boggles the mind. The play to DeSean Jackson that bailed out a bad series from Stafford, he overruns it, gets totally lost. The replay is even worse. Like, Jamal Adams, where are you going? Yeah. There's DeSean Jackson. Scores. We dig into the numbers. This is Seahawks defense overall, specifically Jamal Adams. Most yards, you saw that, second most of the Chiefs. Adams, the fourth hot, making a bunch of money. He's not playing well. He's got one interception last 46 games, zero sacks. And I know you're thinking, like, Wilds, he's got to be doing something out there, isn't he? Like, yes, he is. Unfortunately, tackling members of his own team is not good tape to show in the locker room. Like, hey, you know what? Here's his tackling is own guy. Boom, have that. So big hit. Try to go for the other team, not the guys on your own team. So Jamal Adams, defense, get right. I am not as nearly as down as you guys are on the Seahawks. Russ can still make it work. If he's out, Geno can make it work. Defense needs to get better. Go ahead, Nick. Now you can be mad at me. Say that the Chiefs are different.
Okay, here we go. This is a bunch here. First of all, everyone's happy for Geno, but Kevin Wildes is the only person in the continental U.S. who thinks it's sustainable, including Geno. Geno is not waking up this morning like, oh, I'm about to do that again. He's like, ooh, wow. Not sure where that came from, but that was fun.
Time out.
Second of all, yeah. Please. Go ahead. Time.
I bet the Rams defense. Oh. Why shouldn't he feel like that? He cooked up the Rams defense, was moving the ball.
Yeah. Rams defense not been good this year, buddy. So, like, that's the other thing that we'll discuss when we talk about the Rams. They seem to really miss Brandon Staley. And so that's, you know, who's now the head coach for the Chargers, was their defensive coordinator. Okay. I'm glad, though, since you guys are so insistent on just shoehorning the Chiefs into every conversation, that you did bring up Jamal Adams. One of the reasons that I am not as concerned is, like, well, they have Jamal Adams, who seems to be doing nothing. The Chiefs in the exact same spot do have Tyrann Mathieu, who does everything. I think he'll start to play better. But we can save the Chiefs for the Bills conversation. We can, well, Chris Jones, pretty good player. Frank Clark getting healthier. But we can save the Chiefs for later discussion, because this is the last day you guys are going to be able to flaunt about the Chiefs, as we said, after they beat the Bills. But that's for later in the show. But let me address something about the Seahawks as a whole. I wonder if Russell Wilson knew this team wasn't that good. How much of Russell Wilson this summer, ooh, flirting with other teams? I don't want to go anywhere, but here's four teams you could send me to. Was
that I would go.
He's been with this team for a decade, and he was like, "Yeah, we ain't got it. Like, this year's team is not going to be able to compete for a championship," and he wanted to get out ahead of it. Because, again, going into last night, the only quarterback in football with a better passer rating than Mahomes was Russ. He had 9 touchdowns, 0 picks, and an impossible 130 passer rating. And they were 2-2. And so you look at Seattle's offense, you're like, you do have DK Metcalf, you do have Tyler Lockett. On defense, Jamal Adams is at least a big name. Bobby Wagner's not who he once was, but he's still a very good linebacker. And that their second round pick, the kid who got the sack last night, has had a sack in almost every game this year. It's like, why aren't they better? I wonder if Russ knew. I wonder if Russ had a feeling, we're going to be scratching and clawing for a wild card again, and that maybe our best days are behind us. And I think maybe that had, because the whole narrative was he wants more control. Maybe, and maybe it was, yeah, I'd like to be on a team that can win a championship. And I don't know, Jenna, if the Seahawks are that team this year.
Wow. All right. Well, once again, Russell Wilson leaving the game early last night with that sprained finger. We'll see how he does. Rams beat the Seahawks. Much more on this still to come. But we got to talk about the big game this weekend. Josh Allen and the Bills, can they pull off the upset in a primetime game over Mahomes and the Chiefs? Nick's got thoughts. Nick's got takes.
Oh, it's not an upset, though, Jenna.
Back after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Need it. Time for a little upset alert. Bills Chiefs Sunday night. Patrick Mahomes beat Josh Allen and the Bills twice last season, but a lot of people are picking Buffalo to pull off the upset this time around after KC's slow start to the season. But Broussard, which other team should be on upset alert in week 5?
Yeah, I'm not going to pick on Nick's Chiefs just yet, but Green Bay Packers. Green Bay Packers against the Cincinnati Bengals. Fans up in Green Bay beat on upset alert. All right, most people think that the Packers have righted themselves after that debacle in the opening weekend when they lost to, were routed by New Orleans. And yes, they've certainly gotten better and put that behind them. But I'm not sure that they are back to the team that's gone 26-6 over the last two regular seasons. Where's the quality win? All right, Detroit you beat, but who doesn't beat Detroit? Pittsburgh, which is running on fumes, okay. And San Francisco, which may not be as good as we expected. They're solid, but it took a last-second field goal to edge the 49ers. All right, so they're going to be defensively. They're without Za'Darius Smith, Jair Alexander, the cornerback. That could hurt them. I think Joe Burrow's Jamar and Chase and these guys could punish them through the air, especially if Joe Mixon, the running back, returns from the sprained ankle. So this is an alert, not a prediction. It's an alert. Yeah, but don't be surprised if the Cincinnati Bengals take out Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Yeah, Broussard once again wants to make sure you know it's an alert, not a prediction. That way, he's right.
Segment,
if he's wrong, he wasn't actually wrong.
It's the name of the segment.
No, it's fine. I got it. I understand. I got it. No, I got it. Wilds, you always say, what is your opponent hoping you do? So let me take that, a little further. You think the Cardinals are happy or sad they're facing Trey Lance this weekend? Because I bet they're
sad. That's a good point.
I bet the Cardinals were like, oh, gimme Jimmy G. But now there's a little more variance. Now Kyle Shanahan, who since the moment he drafted Trey Lance has been building a playbook specifically for him, gets to finally unveil it. Oh, that's a stretch run to the right. Oh, that's a stretch bootleg. Looks just like the stretch run to the right. Oh, that's a quarterback run. You're going to have the same play again and again and again, just with different endings that are specific to Trey Lance's skill set. Now, I am concerned about the Niners' injury report so far this week, most notably George Kittle. But if George Kittle plays, I absolutely see a scenario where Kyler Murray's trying to get out of the pocket, Joey Bosa takes him down, Trey Lance is making big plays, and the Niners, as 5.5-point underdogs, as legitimate real underdogs, pull off a victory. So I say the Cardinals should be on upset alert, Wilds.
Wow, good job. So for the record, you don't need to do that to participate in this segment. It's just an alert, which is why I'm putting the Falcons on alert. It is not a guarantee. I'm not saying the Jets win in London. It is just an alert. This game is early in the morning on the East Coast. It's in London normal time at Tottenham Stadium. Go Spurs. Meanwhile, I do not necessarily believe 100% in Zach Wilson. He keeps on throwing the ball to the wrong team, but I do believe in the Jets defense, which is sneaky good. And if Zach Wilson is going to have success, it's going to come up against the Falcons, who have given up the most point. Meanwhile, poor Matt Ryan doesn't have Calvin Ridley, and Kyle Pitts, who's supposed to be literally the best tight end prospect in the history of the NFL draft, has yet to score a touchdown, even though he's getting a lot of targets.
Right.
So I'm putting an alert. I'm not saying the Jets win. I'm not going that far. But I think the Falcons should be on alert. That's all you need for this segment.
You mentioned Ridley. Falcons, no Ridley or Gage. Their top two receivers didn't make the trip. The Jets last week played a Titans team with no Julio or A.J. Brown. Back-to-back weeks, the Jets defense gets to play a team without its top two pass catchers. I think that's notable. I think this is not a bad pick. Hey. Wake up early for it, America. Morning football with your eggs.
Yeah, late for us.
I wait all year to be able to do this, Nick. We look forward to watching the football in action Sunday morning in London. A little bit. We are back talking Baker Mayfield. He admitted he was awful last week. Simply awful. Do the Browns need to start worrying about their quarterback? We'll ask these guys next. This is First Things First. I think it's
Jenny,
a Friday.
Move the accent on your resume tape.
Time to run the no huddle.
What does that mean?
Big matchup in the AFC Sunday.
No one knows. Let's just keep moving.
You guys have lost me. Totally lost.
Welcome to the show, Broussard. Hey, 3-1 Browns, 3-1 Chargers, Baker versus Herbert. It was reported yesterday Baker Mayfield's been playing through a partially torn labrum in his left shoulder. Baker said the injury should not be affecting his throws. You wonder, though, after one of his worst games ever last week. Nick, what would a win over the Chargers mean for Baker and the Browns?
Oh, it'd be massive, especially when you look at it. Do yourself a favor, especially if you're considering gambling on this game. Just check out the Browns injury report this week. It's too long to list the number of guys who have not practiced yet this week and did not practice yesterday. So the Browns are going to be shorthanded, plus Baker's injured, plus the Chargers have a very strong argument that they are the second best team in the AFC. I happen to think the Chargers and Browns are the second and third best teams in the conference right now. I know the whole world's in love with the Bills. That'll end in about 70 hours. But for the time being, everyone loves the Bills. So this would be a massive win for Baker. And he's in an odd spot. Like, it's not even a discussion right now. And we are 1 year into Justin Herbert's career. Which team has the better quarterback, Chargers or Browns? It's unanimous consent that the Chargers have the better quarterback. And for the Chargers, on the other side of things, when they looked at their opening schedule, and it's like, we've got the Chiefs, then the Raiders, then Cleveland, and then Baltimore next week, by the way. If they can start that four-game stretch 3-0, you have to start taking them seriously as far as could they be a year or two ahead of schedule. This is a game, Broussard, I believe, that even though Baker played poorly last week, style points don't matter for the Browns. If they win and get to 4-1 with the schedule they've had, by any means necessary, they will take it. Obviously, Baker would like to play well, and I think given the injuries, he's going to have to play well for them to beat the Chargers. It would be a massive victory for them, but I think they're in a really rough spot given all their injuries.
I agree with a lot of what you said, but I would say this. The Chargers have a heck of an argument that they're the best team in the AFC, right? They beat Kansas City. They beat Las Vegas. They could very easily be 4-0. They would have beat Dallas, but they took away their own, two touchdowns of their own with penalties. So they're playing great football. So, yeah, if the Browns beat them, as you said, with all the injuries, that is huge. And I do agree with you. Whether Baker plays well or not, it's impressive. Imagine if they beat the Chargers with Baker struggling. And the Chargers haven't been great against the run. We know that's a strength of the Browns, so that's something on their side, a check mark that if they should be able to run the ball on Sunday. But Baker, you need him to start playing well. And really, you need it for this reason, Nick. He needs to show that he can perform well with his most talented wide receiver on the field. That's Odell Beckham Jr. And I don't put any of this on Odell, really. But I don't. You see it right there. We know last year that Baker played much better once Odell went down and got injured. This year, he was completing 81% of his passes in the first two games without Odell. Odell comes back. Now he's completing 53%. I don't put this on Odell, but does he intimidate Baker? Or does Baker feel like I have to get him the football instead of just going through his normal progressions and finding the open receiver? That is now becoming a question mark in Cleveland. So Baker's got to put that notion to rest. But again, even if he doesn't play well and they win, it's huge for the Browns, Wilds.
All right. I want to see Baker have a big game because you know what gets my antennas up? Torn labrums, partially or fully. And here's why. I'll give you a specific little story. When I was doing the jump with my old buddy Tracy McGrady, Tracy went on there. He was talking about, I think, Paul George struggling. And Tracy just out of the blue didn't tell anybody. He's like, I think he's got a torn labrum. Where I was like, oh, dude, you kind of can't do that. Can't just like diagnose guys. You're not a doctor. And he had a torn labrum. And Tracy talked about his torn labrum and how brutal it was. So the news came out that Baker has a partially torn labrum. I was like, okay, not quite sure where that is in your body. I couldn't really point to it or draw it. So I guess that'll be all right if it's only partially torn. I just am very nervous about this, and everybody seems to be saying it's not a big deal. The fact that it's out and he's struggling is a bigger deal for me than everybody else. Maybe I'm wrong. I'd like to be wrong. Maybe he can play through it the whole season, but my level of Baker alert went from here to up here because of that partially torn labrum. I'm
That's
a labrum
fair.
Guy. Everybody knows
That's
it.
Fair.
I actually like how cautious you are with everybody in their health status.
That's fair.
It's tough Thursday night football. Matt Stafford and the Rams offense came alive in the second half last night against Seattle. Scored 23 after the break to come back and beat the Seahawks. They now improved to 4-1, piling up 476 yards of total offense in the process. Hey, Broussard, were you impressed by Matt Stafford last night?
In the second half, yes. He looked good after halftime. Threw for 234 yards after intermission, completed 6 of his 7 passes for 20 yards or more after intermission. So he looked good in the second half, 1 touchdown as well. First half, not impressed at all. He was missing guys. that were wide open. He had one interception. They only managed 7 points in the first half against the Seattle defense that, as we said, hasn't been great. So, look, here are two things we have to keep in mind with Matt Stafford. The bar is set extremely high for him, okay? He was traded for Jared Goff, 2 first-round picks, and a 3rd-round pick, all right? So, and you went to a team that with Goff had made it to a Super Bowl and was a perennial contender. So being a perennial contender again, being 4-1, it's nice, but that's not what you're there for. He has to win a Super Bowl within the next 2 or 3 years for this trade to be justified. And he hasn't looked that good. A lot of people thought he'd be the MVP this year. He's playing well, he's playing fine, but he hasn't looked like an MVP. And then the second thing to keep in mind with Matt Stafford is that he's not used to playing these types of games. Okay, in Detroit, he was in hiding. I know they made the playoffs a few times, but for the most part, he wasn't playing significant games. He wasn't under this type of scrutiny. He wasn't playing where every possession counted and mattered. All right, he wasn't in these big primetime moments. And so how is he responding to that? That's what you have to keep in mind when you're looking at Matt Stafford. So first 3 weeks look great. Nick, last 2 weeks, been good.
Yeah.
But has he been good enough to justify that trade? I'm not so sure.
Well, I think the trade almost justifies itself because the Rams now have a legitimate NFL starting quarterback. I don't think they have to win a Super Bowl to justify it. Getting off Goff was valuable in and of itself, and I think Stafford's clearly better. However, otherwise, I agree with a lot of what you said. And the pick he threw was terrible. It took points off the board. It was to no one except for his former teammate from Detroit, Quandre Diggs. That was an awful play. But where I will give the Rams credit is they played poorly last week. They played poorly in the first half this week, only scoring 3 points against that miserable Seattle defense. And then they rallied on the road in a tough environment. And so I think you have to give them credit for that and being able to sustain the way they did. I also think, Wilds, the bigger story with the Rams this year, even if it doesn't show up in the raw points from last night, is that defense is nowhere close to the level last season. That was their biggest strength last year by far. And so I thought Stafford was mediocre last night, but they're 4-1. You go to Seattle, you get a win. I didn't think you were going to get. It was important for them to bounce back in the second half the way they did. But one of two things is going to have to happen. Either the defense is going to have to get closer to where it was last year, or Stafford's going to have to be more consistent.
Absolutely.
Because you can't be, he was, like Broussard said, he was missing guys high and then the terrible pick early. He rallied, so I'll give him credit. But if they're going to be the favorites in the NFC, it's going to have to come from one of those two places.
Yeah. So he had an awful pick in the end zone. He also, the throw that he had, the completion, which is the highlight of the game to DeSean Jackson, that should have been an interception. So after this segment,
right,
I'm going to make a quick trip to Elias, and I'm going to change the statistics. This should have been picked off by Jamal Adams. He has no idea where he is. And on the flip side, Geno Smith should have kept that drive going. It wasn't his fault. So Geno Smith, your interception, I'm taking it from the Geno Smith column. I'm bringing it over to the Matthew Stafford column. You're clean. Ice in the veins. Great game.
By the way, listen, I'm looking at this schedule. Giants, Lions, Texans, next 3 games for the Rams. They could very easily be looking at 7-1. So a nice little stretch
That's
coming
right.
up. Back talking Bills and Chiefs. AFC title game rematch set for Sunday night. Can Josh Allen beat Patrick Mahomes for the first time ever? Talk about that next. You know, this is First Things First. First Things First, back talking Bills and Chiefs. And oh, what a Sunday night showdown. Mahomes has owned this matchup in the past, but if we learned anything so far this season, it's that Kansas City can be beat. And for Buffalo, well, this is their most important game left on the schedule, a statement game in every which way. Some notes on the game. Here we go. Here are the notes. Mahomes won both meetings last season. These are the top 2 offenses in the AFC right now. Bills lead the NFL with 11 takeaways. And then there's that Chiefs defense. allowing 30 a game since the 2020 AFC title game. Joining us to break this game down is our quarterback, Mr. Mike Vick. Mike, good morning. We need you, buddy.
Good morning.
Fill us in. Enlighten us. Who wins this game Sunday night and why?
Well, I think the Kansas City Chiefs win, and I think it's because of a couple things. Mm. One, they win 70% of their games at home, and it's hard to win in Kansas City when you see all that red and the crowd is bearing down on you. You know, you got to come in and you got to be ready to play. Two, last week I felt like Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and the offense really found their groove down in Philadelphia. And the first couple weeks, it wasn't as squeaky clean, but last week it really seemed like they started to gel and they found the rhythm. And sometimes it takes a while. But, you know, for the most part, I think when Josh Allen comes into that building, he knows what he's getting into. It is an AFC Championship game matchup once again, 2.0. And he's going to have to do everything in his power on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball for the Buffalo Bills to win this game. I just don't see it happening, you know, at this junction in the season. What does concern me is the Kansas City Chiefs defense. And, Jenny, you just said it. You just showed the graphic, giving up 30 points a game. That's not going to cut it because Josh Allen, he's hot right now. And the Buffalo Bills are going to come in with a little bit of confidence and with a lot of confidence, especially after the last 2 weeks. So it's going to make for an intriguing matchup. But I err on the side of the Kansas City Chiefs winning the majority of their games at home, 70%, and being hard to beat, you know, at home.
Yeah, and I err on the side of they played twice last year. And neither was competitive. The first game, the Bills were like, we're not going to let you throw the ball. So the Chiefs ran it 46 times for 250 yards. Second game, Bills were like, all right, that strategy didn't work. And so they played the run. The Chiefs still ran for 100. But Hill and Kelce, between the two of them, had 290 yards receiving on 22 catches. And so now, will the Bills change some things up? Yes. I think Dawson Knox, their tight end, is going to be a big part of their game plan. I think they will, as every team that's played the Chiefs this year has started to do. They will not look at it as we have to get a first down on three downs. They will look at almost every drive as four down territory, and that is something the Chiefs defense must adjust to. But I understand the glee, Wilds, that you and others, Broussard somewhat, but not so much because he still has the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, but have taken in the fact that the Chiefs defense has been terrible. But and you might say, Nick, why do you care that the Seahawks defense is terrible and not the Chiefs defense is terrible? Well, people don't really talk about the pitching of the 27 Yankees. By the way, it happened to be great, but it was irrelevant because they had the best offense anyone had ever seen. The Chiefs' offense this year either turns the ball over or scores a touchdown. That's it. Against the Bills last year, same thing. Two matchups, three punts. And when we really look at this Chiefs season, they lost focus for two quarters. The fourth quarter against Baltimore, they turn it over two out of three possessions. The first quarter against the Chargers, they turn it over three straight possessions. Other than that, no one has stopped the offense. They've only stopped themselves. So do I think, Wilds, that Buffalo is going to go into Kansas City and score 40? Because that's what it's going to take. You're going to need to score 40. I do not. Do I think the Bills' defense is ready for the jump from Davis Mills to Patrick Mahomes? I do not. So do I think this will be a blowout? No, I don't think it'll be a blowout. But I think you and Broussard acting like the wrong team is favored is pretty ludicrous, at least in my opinion.
Okay. I mean, Broussard, I am a simple guy. When I see a team with the second worst defense, which is trending towards a historically bad defense, I say, you know what? Not great. That's it. I'm a simple. When I see the lowly Eagles run the ball up and down the field, have Jalen Hurts combined for 434 yards through the air and on the ground, I think, you know what? Not good. And I know Nick likes to take shots at the Bills because they're blanking terrible teams. Okay, well, the Eagles are a terrible team. And you let Jalen Hurts cook you up all over the place. So, yeah, I am concerned. Baker cooked you up. Lamar cooked you up. Justin Herbert cooked you up. And Jalen Hurts cooked you up. So now you've got Josh Allen, who might be better than all those guys. Do I think he's going to cook the Chiefs up? Yes. And Broussard, I would like to make a personal invite to you. because I know you're kind of torn between wanting to get Nick mad and wanting to be right about your Kansas City Super Bowl pick. Well, let me tell you, my friend, this one is way more fun. This one, it's way more fun to live here and get Nick mad than it is to be right about your Super Bowl pick. So come on over. You can still be like, ah, I picked him, but it is more fun. Just make the choice. It's a delight to be in this side of the ball.
Well, look, Nick is big, as am I, on pick integrity, take integrity. So I won't make another Super Bowl pick until before the playoffs, right? That's when we'll do our next picks. And we'll see if I stick with the Chiefs. But right now, I am in on Kansas City getting there. But, Nick, you are undoubtedly downplaying their poor defense. And I look, you stick your chest out. You got a little bass in your voice. And you talk, you're braggadocious about the defense. That doesn't work, all right? Because you were the same way about them going 20-0. All right, and we saw how that worked. And then it was 19-1, and we saw how that worked. So I'm not going for that, all right? I want to pose this question to Michael Vick. The defense, from a quarterback's eyes, you're looking at that defense. What do you see that makes it so bad or has made it so bad thus far this season? And if you were entering this game as the starting quarterback against the Chiefs, what would you be thinking? I got to be thinking you'd be licking your chops. Like, oh, I'm about to have a big game. Let's just hope our defense can hold up against their offense. So what? Answer those questions for me, Mike.
Now, Chris, I think you just said it. I mean, on the offensive side of the ball, you know, look, that defense giving up a lot of points, whether it's in the run game or the pass game, and we just got to exploit that. We got to find out what the voids are in the defense, and we got to attack. And most of the time, your game plan is going to be catered towards what their deficiencies are. But most importantly, your defense got to stop Patrick Mahomes. So while we know we're going to score points on offense, I still would be worried about our defense shutting down Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, because that's going to be the telltale sign if we win this game and get out of the stadium with a win. So you just said it, Chris. We're going to score the points, but can our defense step up and stop Patrick?
And they know the answer to that's no. They're not going to have Matt Milano, who might be their best defensive player. They got the Chiefs spotted them 9 points in the AFC Championship game last year. If you guys remember, the Chiefs had, it was Buffalo field goal, Chiefs 3-and-out, then the Chiefs muffed a punt on the 3-yard line. Buffalo's up 9-0. It is then a 38-6 run. And Buffalo's schedule works against them at this point. They have played one game that was not a blowout. They lost it. They have played zero quality quarterbacks, and they know this is the only truly meaningful game they will play for 4 months. Nothing will matter for them to really believe they can go to the Super Bowl if they can't go to Kansas City and win. To act like the nerves are not on the Chiefs' side of things in a positive manner is ludicrous. And yes, the Chiefs' defense has been terrible. They also have not lost a single game this year because of their defense. The defense was bad against Baltimore. If Clyde Edwards-Helaire doesn't have his first fumble of his career, they win it. Against the Chargers, they turned the ball over on 3 straight possessions to open the game. That's why they lost. Wilds keeps bringing up Philly as if that game was not 42-23 with a minute left. It was 40. I don't care how much you're moving the ball up and down the field if the Chiefs are scoring touchdowns on every possession. So I'm just does anybody really think, if you think Buffalo's going to blow Kansas City out, then good luck, God bless. But if you think it's going to be close, who do you think, Broussard and Wilds, with all the bass in their voice imaginable, are out here picking the Bills? That's fine. But you and I, all of us know that if this is a close game late at Arrowhead with Patrick Mahomes on one side of the field and Josh Allen on the other, you're going to be watching it saying, why did I do this to myself? Why did I do this to myself? I picked against this guy in a big spot. Okay, maybe they'll turn the ball over 3 straight times again. I doubt it. I think it's going to look a lot like Bills Chiefs have looked in years past, Jenna.
Broussard and Wilds, you poked the bear. I warned you, not out loud, but to myself.
Mike
you
Vick
poked
knows
the
what
bear.
Talking
I
about.
Said, just, you know, don't do that thing. Back talking
that
Thursday Night Football. Russell Wilson had to leave the game with a finger injury. It was the volume with which he did in the bass. Broussard, it was the bass. Are the Seahawks' playoff hopes already hanging by a thread? We'll talk about that next. First things first.
Ugh.
That argument was...
All right, time now for Stories to Start Your Morning, sponsored by Ram Trucks, Built to Serve. We're talking some Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. We're talking some Josh Allen and the Bills. Now, Mahomes has owned this matchup, but if we learned anything so far this season, what is it? I'll answer. It's that Kansas City can be beat. And for Buffalo, well, this is their most important game left on the schedule. A statement game in every which way but loose. Great movie, by the way. All right, Nick, who wins Sunday night?
Well, I'll believe the Bills can beat the Chiefs once I see the Bills ever beat the Chiefs. And last year they played twice and wasn't close. The AFC Championship game was an embarrassment for Buffalo. But listen, I told you 7 days ago that there was going to be 10, you had 10 days remaining of being able to feign concern about the Chiefs. And that after they hung 40 on Philly and then hung 40 on the Bills and they steadied themselves, that we were going to get back to our equilibrium of arguing about who the second best team in football is, because we know it. So I hope everyone's enjoyed the last seven. There's two more days and then Monday morning we're back to normal. I keep hearing, Wilds, about the Chiefs' defense. Fair, they've been bad. Can you tell me, because we've had all week and I haven't yet heard it, can you tell me how the Bills are going to stop the Chiefs' offense? Because even if the Chiefs allow points every time, that's just good enough for a tie, right? You got to get a stop. Is there any part of this game that you have factored in? The Bills are going to have to get a stop because they weren't able to in either meeting last year.
They do have two shutouts on their record. They play four games. They shut two teams out. Mm-hmm. That seems like a pretty good statistic. So, I know they don't make their own schedule. Yeah. You're going to say those teams were a bunch of bums, but like, all right, yeah, maybe, but we didn't let them score one single point, not even one field goal twice. So I think Bills that Bills defense is pretty good. Okay. Well, you know, right. I'm not jumping Nick, through the table like Jacoby.
Nick, quickly, Nick, because I know you got more to say, but didn't the Chargers hold the Chiefs to 24? I mean...
What? Yeah, they did.
That happened,
they
right?
Did. The Chiefs held themselves. Yeah, okay. I mean, the Chiefs had four turnovers in that game. Again, if you think the Chiefs are going to turn the ball over a bunch, then you pick the Bills. If you think the Bills, I asked Wilds a very pointed question. He didn't answer it, of course. He just said the Bills in the last month have held teams to 0 points. That doesn't discuss how they're going to, how are they going to stop the Chiefs? They're going to stop Tyreek Hill, who, by the way, we've become so numb to Tyreek Hill. He had 180 yards and three touchdowns. Can he win AFC Player of the Week? Nah, give it to Joe Burrow, not the receiver that just dusted Philly all day. A little more bulletin board material. By the way, are they going to stop Travis Kelce? Because the last time they played, Hill and Kelce combined for 290. Are they going to let him run the ball? Because in the two meetings last year, the Chiefs ran for 370 yards. Like, the Bills are going to have to get some stops, or we're just going to have, I'll ask you, Broussard, you trust Josh Allen? You trust Josh Allen to match Patrick Mahomes in the biggest regular season game of Josh Allen's life? You do, Broussard.
All right, look, well, I'll give you this, Nick. The Chiefs' offense is better than the Bills. It's not like by a landslide, but it's better. I'll give you that. But the Bills' defense is much better than the Chiefs' defense by a landslide. Here's what's going to happen. Buffalo is going to hold Mahomes in Kansas City somewhere between 27 and 32 points. And Buffalo is going to have a field day against that paper mache defense. They can run against them with Devin Singletary, and they can pass against them. All right? They're going to score 35 points. So they don't have to score 40. And I got to say this before, again, I know you got more to say. You can't use the terms, you didn't do it just now, but you've been doing it all week, boat raced and mollywopped to describe last year's meetings between the Chiefs and the Bills. Yeah, in the playoffs, sure. But the regular season was 26-17. It was 13-10 Chiefs at halftime. How is that a mollywop? How is that a boat race? You keep overstating it. Buffalo wins because of their offense, not because of they shut down Mahomes.
The Chiefs ran the ball 46 times for 250 yards, controlled every aspect of that football game. That's why it was a mollywhopping. But Wilds, I guess something very interesting happened there. I know you're a baseball bigamist. You're a Yankees fan. You're a Red Sox fan. Yesterday, you were happy about the Rays stealing home. I feel like you're turning into a football bigamist as well. You're a Patriots fan, but you just called the Bills we. You said we have two shutouts the last three weeks.
Also,
that's a fascinating development. But I'm just curious, Wiles, you do fancy tell. I'm just real quick, and I'll ask you. You ever watch the TV show where they have the guy eat the hot wings and they keep raising the scale? They keep making a little hotter, a little hotter, a little hotter.
Shaq.
What they don't do is go from the mildest pepper in the world to the hottest habanero. That's what the Bills are going to. Going from Davis Mills to Patrick Mahomes, they're not ready for the upgrade. Their schedule will actually work against them in this game, Wiles.
Okay. Here's my issue, Jenna, real quick, and I know we got to go. The Chiefs defense is like a Yelp review. Everybody loves it. Hey, did you like it? Baker's like, yeah, my best game. Lamar, did you like it? I loved it. Hey, Justin Herbert, did you like it? Yeah. Hey, Jalen Hurts, did you love it? I loved it too. You're like, wow. Josh Allen's thinking, I might love this too. The review seems great. So yeah, we'll see. I think he's going to cook them up.
Talk to you Monday morning.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Undisputed starts right now.